him. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. This is a prayer that we all need to pray because we are all sinners. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. That's what the Bible tells us. But of course, it is a prayer that many of us have prayed. Because many of us here tonight are saved and have received forgiveness for our sins. The sinner's prayer is a prayer that God has promised to answer when the sinner calls upon the Lord for salvation. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And thank God tonight when the sinner cries unto the Lord for mercy and forgiveness, God has promised in his word to respond and save the sinner from the depths of their sin. Now let me ask you the question very simply at the close of this gospel meeting. Have you ever prayed this prayer? Have you prayed this prayer from the bottom of your heart? Have you prayed this prayer recognizing that you need God's wonderful salvation? Well, my prayer tonight is that if you have not prayed this sinner's prayer, that even this evening you will come and seek the Lord. And thank God if you do, the Bible tells us that you will leave this church this evening redeemed and justified and on your way to heaven. In Luke chapter 18, we have an example of a sinner praying the sinner's prayer. Here in this passage of Scripture, a man described as the publican goes up into the temple and cries unto God to have mercy upon his soul. He cries out in our text, God be merciful to me, a sinner. And the Bible says in verse 14, if you look at it, that he went down to his house justified. In other words, he went down to his house with all his sins forgiven. God answered his prayer. God forgave him for his sins. God saved his soul. And the Lord will do the same for you tonight. Do you believe that? Well, let me tell you on the authority of God's book, the Bible that I have in front of me this evening, God will do that for you. If you call upon him, if you cry unto him for mercy and salvation, if you pray the sinner's prayer with all your heart, the Lord has promised to forgive you for your sins, to save your soul, and to make you ready for heaven. Now, as we come to consider this text tonight and look at this subject, there's a number of things that I want you to notice. And as I've said, if you're not saved, I want you to listen very carefully to what God's word says. Now, let me emphasize that. It's what the Bible says. It's not what I say. It's not what the church says. It's what God in his word says. And I pray this evening that as you listen to what God says, that the Holy Spirit will take the word of God and burn it within your heart and within your soul. First of all, I want you to notice that we have here the publican's confession in his prayer. Look what the publican prays here in the text. Look at it. He says, God be merciful, I underline these words, to me a sinner. Here in this prayer, the publican who is praying this prayer, the sinner who is praying this prayer, he confesses that he personally is a sinner. Now, did you notice that? I'm sure it's hard not to notice it. He confesses that he is the sinner. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You know, we live in an age when we look at the sins of others. We condemn the sins of others. We talk about the sins of others. We judge the sins of others. This is a generation of Phariseeism. Of course, the Pharisee in Luke chapter 18, he could not see his own sin. He could only see the sins of others. Look with me there at verse 11 and consider what the Pharisee said. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Here we have a man who could not see his own sin. He did not confess that he was the sinner because he didn't believe that he was a sinner. And all he could see and observe was the sins of others. My friend, if you are going to be saved, if you're ever going to have your sins forgiven, you've got to forget about the sins of others. And you've got to see your own sin. That's the reason why this man was saved. At least one of the reasons why he was saved. Because at the very outset, he confesses that he is the sinner. You see, the publican not only knew that he was a sinner, but he confessed his sin to God. You know, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 8 verse, 1 John chapter 1 verses 8 to 10, listen to these words. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. That text of scripture teaches us clearly that if the sinner is ever going to receive forgiveness for his sins, he's got, first of all, to acknowledge that he's a sinner, but he's got to do something more. He's got to confess his sins to God. And you'll notice here that in the publican's confession, he confesses his sins to God. He says, God, look at it, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He didn't confess his sins to the priest. He didn't confess his sins to Mary. He didn't confess his sins to the Pharisee. He confessed his sins to God. And my friend, if you're ever going to be saved, if you're ever going to have your sins forgiven, you've got to confess your sins to God. I don't want to hear about your sins. You don't have to come and confess your sins to me. It's to God that we have to confess our sins if we want forgiveness for our sins. And you'll notice that when he confessed his sins to God, that he repented of his sins. Now, we know that he repented of his sins because he went down to his house justified, and we're going to see more about that just in a moment. But also, when you consider verse 13 closer, you will notice what it says. Look at verse 13. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. True confession of sins to God is repentance. And when the publican cried unto God for mercy, it was a cry from the heart, because the publican felt the guilt of his sin and was willing to turn away from his sin. And that is what repentance is, turning away from sin. The publican not only expressed his repentance in what he said, but he expressed his repentance also in what he did. Verse 13, he humbled himself before God. He recognized that he was the sinner. He wouldn't even lift up his eyes to heaven, but he smote upon his breast. He fell down before God. This is the action of a repentant man. And of course, repentance means turning away from sin. Not only being sorry for sin, but doing an about turn. That's what the word literally means. It means doing an about turn, turning away from sin, and going in the opposite direction. And the problem today is that many want to be converted, and they want to be saved without repentance. But of course, you can't be saved without repentance, and you can't have your sins forgiven without repentance. But here's a man, the publican he's described as. And he's coming before God. And he recognizes that he is the sinner. And he's getting down before God. He's not caring about the Pharisees. He's not caring about anyone else around him. He knows deep down within his heart that he's a lost soul. And he needs God's salvation. There's nothing else that matters as far as this publican is concerned. Because he needs something, and we're going to find out what he needed just in a moment. But as he comes to pray, he prays in repentance, and he prays in faith, and he cries unto God. My friend, let me ask you tonight, very simply, do you recognize that you're the sinner? You know, one of the hardest things to convince men today of is that they're sinners. No one likes to be called a sinner. And yet, this is where we have to start when we consider the message of the gospel. Before a man or a woman or a young person can get right for heaven, and before they can be truly born again of the Spirit of God, they have to see themselves as God sees them. And God sees us all as sinners because we have been born in sin and shapen in iniquity. Now, I say that lovingly to you, but I say it on the authority of God's precious word. I'm so thankful that there was a day in my life when a preacher told me that I was a sinner. I am so thankful that there was a day in my life that I was brought into a gospel meeting like this, and it was revealed to me through the Word of God that I was a sinner. My friend, let me say it to you tonight. I don't care how you've been brought up. I don't care what your background is. I don't care if you've come to church from the day you were born, or whether this is the first time you've been inside a church for many years. The Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And if you're ever going to pray this prayer, then you must confess your sin to God, and you must be willing to repent your sin. Turn away from your sin if you're ever going to find forgiveness for your sin. Now, look at the text again. Because not only do I want you to see the publican's confession in his prayer, but I want you to notice, secondly, the publican's realization in his prayer. This publican recognized something. And it's evident when you study the prayer. What did he recognize? Well, he recognized that he needed something. What did he need? What did he need that the Pharisee couldn't give him? What did he need that those in authority in the temple couldn't give him? What did he need that no one else could give him but God? He needed mercy. Isn't that what he says? Isn't that what he prays? Look at it. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The publican realized that he needed the mercy of God. Thus he prays for God's mercy. Now, what is mercy? Well, the word mercy means to show compassion towards an enemy or one who has offended you. Therefore, when God shows his mercy to the sinner, it means that he is showing compassion towards those who are his enemies, those who have offended him. And of course, the publican had offended God. The publican was God's enemy because of his sin. He's confessing that he's the enemy of God because he has confessed that he's the sinner. He has offended God. But as he prays this prayer, although he realizes that he is the sinner and does not deserve the mercy of God, he recognizes and realizes that if he's ever going to be saved, if he's ever going to get into heaven, if he's ever going to escape hell, that God is going to have to show him mercy. My friend, that's the truth of the matter. If you and I are going to get into heaven, if we're going to be saved, we need the mercy of God. We need the mercy of God. We need the compassion of God. Here this publican realized that he did not deserve mercy. He realized that the mercy of God was unmerited. Also, the publican praying for mercy shows us that he had a deep concern for the eternal welfare of his soul. Why is he praying at all? Because he recognizes that his soul is lost. And he recognizes that he can't save himself. And he recognizes that if he goes on in life and dies in that spiritual state that he's in, that he'll be plunged out into hell forever. Therefore, he comes to this place in his life where he recognizes that he needs the mercy of God. He needs the forgiveness of God for his sins. He needs the cleansing of the precious blood. He needs the Lord to save him. And falling down in the temple, he cries out, "O God, be merciful to me, a sinner." My friend, that's what you need to do tonight if you're not saved. But you'll not do that until you realize you're a sinner and until you recognize that you need the mercy of God. We all need the mercy of God. I need the mercy of God. You need the mercy of God. And we need the Lord to forgive us for our sins and to cleanse us from our unrighteousness. That sin that we have been born with, we need it cleansed, and we need it removed, and we need it taken away. And only God can do that when he's merciful to the sinner. Now, something else I want you to notice here, because this is very, very important. In the Greek word for mercy in the text, there is a distinct reference to the doctrine of atonement. Now, you wouldn't know that just by reading the English. But when you study the Greek, you learn this. There is within this word a distinct appeal to the mercy seat. You remember in the Old Testament that God would only show mercy to the sinner on the basis of the blood of the Lamb. As the children of Israel came before God, God wouldn't show them mercy except through the blood of the Lamb. The sacrifice had to be paid. The blood of the sacrifice had to be shed. You see, the original word for mercy here might be translated like this. Listen to this very carefully. God be propitiated to me, a sinner. The word propitiation means appeasement or atonement. Therefore, and this is very important, the publican was praying to God in the context of this prayer to show him mercy on the grounds of the blood. To show him mercy on the grounds of the blood of the Lamb. The publican knew that God would only accept him because of the atonement that had been made for his sins through the blood of the Lamb. You know, men and women, God will only forgive sin and show mercy to the sinner on the grounds of the shed blood. And of course, that's the reason why the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross. He died on the cross in order to shed his precious blood so that he could redeem us and would redeem us from our sins. The Lord Jesus on the cross became man's substitute. He died in our room instead. He shed his blood to save us. And God will show you mercy, and God will show me mercy, when we pray on the basis of the blood, on the basis of what his Son has accomplished on the cross of Calvary. God will not show you mercy and me mercy just because we pray the sinner's prayer. Many people believe that God will save them on the basis of a prayer. No, no, no. Many people believe that God will save them on the basis of good works. Many people believe that God will save them on the basis of the fact that they come to church every week. No, friend, you've got to understand exactly what the publican is praying here. He's praying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner, on the basis of the blood of the Lamb. That's what the text literally means. But thank God, and this is the wonderful message of the gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ has died and shed his blood and he has risen again. And therefore, when I come, and I'm saved 36 years, that night on the Brownstown Road in Portadown, as a young boy of 13 years of age, that night when I got down before God and cried unto him for mercy and asked him to save me, the Lord saved me on the basis of what his Son had done for me on the place called Calvary. That's why he saved me. And that's why he will save you. That's why he redeemed me. That's why he forgave me for my sins. And that's why he will forgive you for your sins. Oh, glory to God. What a wonderful message the gospel is. And God cannot deny you. That's the wonderful thing about the message of the gospel. When you come as a sinner, confessing your sins to God in repentance, turning away from your sins, pleading the mercy on the grounds of the blood of the Lamb, God cannot deny you, because he has promised that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. My friend, have you ever called for mercy? Have you ever prayed for mercy? Have you ever cried unto the Lord, O God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Save me. Not because of my good works, Lord, not because there's anything good in me, but because of what your only begotten Son has done on the place called Calvary. You see, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God sent his Son into this world to seek and to save that which was lost. And thank God this evening, you can receive eternal salvation. And you can receive eternal salvation when you come by faith to the foot of the cross and accept what the Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished for you there. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Now, I want you to see something else here. I hope you're still looking at the text. I want you to notice not only the publican's confession in the prayer, and not only do I want you to notice the publican's realization in the prayer, he realized he needed mercy on the basis of the blood of the Lamb, but I want you to notice, thirdly, the publican's justification after he had prayed. Now, to see this, you must look at verse 14. Let's read it all again, the end of verse 13. The publican says, God be merciful to me, a sinner. What happens immediately after he prays this prayer? Well, look at verse 14. I tell you, this man, speaking about the publican, went down to his house justified. It's not a wonderful statement. You see, the publican got saved. The publican received forgiveness for his sins, because that's what the word justification means. Justification means to make one just or righteous, to declare righteous, or to declare a person to be just. That's what the word means. Just as if I have never sinned. The Shorter Catechism says, listen to it, justification is an act of God's free grace, wherein he pardoneth all our sins and accepteth us as righteous in his sight, only for the righteousness of Christ imputed to us and received by faith alone. What happens when a sinner is justified? Well, very simply, all his sins are forgiven on the grounds of the atoning work of Christ. Justification means having your sins forgiven. I am justified tonight because the Lord has forgiven me all my sins. The Bible says, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. In Isaiah 43 verse 25 it says, I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake and will not remember thy sins. I said this morning that when God forgives us for our sins, he forgets about our sins. He casts them behind his back. He casts them into the sea of his forgetfulness. Never to be remembered against us anymore. Not only has the Lord forgiven me for my sins, when he justifies a man, when he saves a sinner, not only does he forgive the sinner his sins, but he forgets about them. He blots them out of his memory. Isn't that something wonderful? Now, as I said this morning, the devil will not let us forget about our sins, child of God. And if you get saved tonight, sinner, the devil will not let you forget about your sins, because tomorrow morning he'll soon be reminding you all about them. How could you be saved? Look what you have done in your past life. How could you be justified? How could you have your sins forgiven? Look what you have done in your past experience. And of course, that's the lie of the devil. We should never believe the devil. We should always believe the Lord, because the devil's a liar. But the Lord tells the truth. And, child of God, let me remind you about it again. If the devil comes to you and he starts casting up your sins, your past sins, you just turn to him and say, listen, devil, the Lord has forgiven me my sins. He has justified me. And he has forgotten about my sins, so just get on about your business. Don't listen to the devil. There's more of God's people today, and they're plagued. They're plagued with doubts. And they live in misery, because day by day, they are reminded about their sins, and they start to say, well, How do I really know that God has forgiven me for my sins? How do I really know that God has justified me? Listen, that's where the Bible comes in. That's why you need to read the Bible. That's why you need to study the Bible. That's why you need to believe what God says. God has forgiven me. Now that's good enough for me. My friend, I don't need an O-level or an A-level or a degree to know that. I just need to believe what God says in his word. And that's what you need to do. If the devil's tormenting you. But sinner, listen to me tonight. Thank God you can be justified. You can have all your sins forgiven. Notice three things very quickly. His sins were forgiven immediately. Immediately he prayed for the mercy of God. The Lord forgive him. Because at the beginning of verse 14, we read, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified. He was justified immediately. I don't need to pray to God for mercy tonight and wait for 2 or 3 months to find out if the Lord has forgiven me or not. I know now. The Lord forgives me immediately. The Lord saves the sinner immediately. That's what salvation is. Salvation takes place in a second of time. That's what happened to Paul on the Damascus Road. Was there any greater sinner than Saul of Tarsus? Next week, when I go back to Enniskillen, I'm starting a new series on highlights from the life of the Apostle Paul. And if you have never studied Paul the Persecutor before, you should study it. I'd never really studied it before until now. I had certainly read about his persecution, but you study it in-depthly. He was a wicked sinner. He was a vile individual. He was a persecutor of the saints of God in a way that you and I couldn't even imagine. And yet on the Damascus Road, as he was walking down towards Damascus to imprison the Christians and bring them back to Jerusalem to imprison them and maybe worse, the Lord spoke to him from heaven. And the Lord saved him. And he cried out, Lord, what will you have me to do? That was the moment of his conversion. Verse 6, look at it, read it. Acts chapter 9, that was the moment of his conversion. And his life was never the same from that day until the day he went home to heaven. But that moment he cried unto God for mercy, the Lord saved him. The Lord forgave him. My friend, if you call upon the Lord tonight for mercy, he'll save you. He'll forgive you. You can leave church tonight with all your sins forgiven. And he'll do it immediately. And not only will he forgive you for your sins immediately, but he will forgive you for your sins eternally. Eternally. Here was a man, and he went down to this house justified, and justified eternally. Now, again, the Greek word here used for justification is the one which the Apostle Paul always employs to set out the great doctrine of the righteousness of Christ, even the righteousness which is of God by faith. The fact is, as soon as the publican prayed, listen to me, every sin that he ever committed was blotted out of God's book forever and God's mind forever. And he became righteous before God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, as he went down to this house justified, he went home clothed in the righteousness of Christ, forgiven and cleansed for all eternity. You see, salvation is eternal. It doesn't last just for a few weeks or a few months or a few years. Salvation is eternal. Jesus said, I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of mine hand. And his sins were forgiven. Note this. Whereas the other man's sins were not. My friend, there are two men that went up into the temple here. The publican and the Pharisee. Only one man received forgiveness for his sin. Only one man was justified before God. Now, if you were to look at these two men as they entered into the temple, you would have said, well, there's the godly man there. You'd have pointed at the Pharisee. Oh, you would. Because you see, he always went into the temple. And he always prayed with himself. And he always tithed. And he always lived up, inverted commas, a so-called good life. But he was the man that went down from the temple still a sinner. Look what it says in verse 14. I tell you, this man, speaking of the publican, went down to his house justified rather than the other, speaking of the Pharisee. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. My friend, you've come into God's house tonight. How have you come in? The most important question is not how you've come in. The most important question is, how will you go out? How will you go out? You can go out justified. You can go out with all your sins forgiven. I don't care what your sins have been. I don't care what your sins have been. I don't care how long and in the sin, the road of sin you've traveled. I don't care. If you take the sinner's place, if you pray the sinner's prayer, if you get down in humility before God and cry, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Save me, Lord. On the basis of what your Son, your only Son, has done upon the cross, cleanse me in the precious blood and redeem me. Thank God he'll answer that prayer. There's no doubt he'll answer the prayer. Don't let the devil tell you that God will not answer that prayer for you. The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel shines in unto them. The truth is that the devil has a twofold plan. He has a plan for the Christian to rob us of the joy of God's salvation, and he's doing a pretty good job with many of God's people. But the devil's plan, as far as the unsaved is concerned, is to blind your mind to the truth of the gospel. He doesn't want you to pray the sinner's prayer. He doesn't want you to cry unto God for mercy. He wants you to continue in your sin. My friend, come to the Lord tonight. He loves you. His Son died for you. And God will show you mercy. Because he cannot deny his Son. He cannot deny the Lord Jesus Christ, his only begotten. Because he said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And the sacrifice that Christ made upon the cross, the Father was well pleased. And when the Lord Jesus cried, "It is finished," the devil was defeated. And thank God, if you come tonight and pray and cry with all your heart to God to save your soul, he'll do it.